political cesspool known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host for tonight, James Edwards.
Ladies and gentlemen, are you ready to get filthy with me tonight in the political cesspool? I hope so, because we have an outstanding program lined up for you tonight. So exciting, in fact, that I am not even going to bother going through my standard introduction of the show. It goes without saying that I'm your host, James Edwards, and that you're listening to us on AM 1380, WLRM in Memphis, Tennessee. We're going out over the AM and FM affiliate stations, courtesy of the Liberty News Radio Network. You might be tuning in with us via satellite or on the internet. If you're tuned into the show, you obviously know how to reach us, so why do I bother repeating it every single week? It's almost redundant, right? Well, listen, we just don't have time for it. We've got an hour chocked full of hard-hitting topics. Listen, it's Saturday, September 19th, and we've got some fireworks for you. Keith Alexander and I were talking a couple of days ago in preparation for tonight's program, and I really think you can't cover it all in 3 hours of commercial radio once a week, but we try to cover as much as we can, as quickly as we can, without, trimming any of the fat. But tonight, Keith, wouldn't you say, my friend, we've got a good one for our barn burner.
Yeah, we've got a cornucopia of topics tonight. There's no doubt about it. The left keeps serving it up like a buffet table that never ends.
It's Thanksgiving every day here in the political cesspool. Every paycheck's a fortune and every meal's a banquet. But listen, we've got a lot, but before we get into it, I want to say this, Keith. I was flipping through the television the other day. I meant to tell you this in our weekly staff meeting, but I was flipping through the television the other day, and I just caught a glimpse of a guy who looked, he just looked like an idiot, if you know what I'm saying. So I figured this guy must be some sort of government employee. Sure enough, this was a man who Obama has pointed to a high-level government position. And you're never going to believe what he was advocating on national TV, Keith. He was advocating, first of all, obviously he was a radical environmentalist, leftist, wacko. If they can call us all these names, we can call them names too, especially when they're applicable. He was advocating that in order to preserve and protect our environment and the animals that live with it, all hunting should be outlawed. So he wanted to outlaw all hunting. No one could hunt under any circumstances ever. But it didn't stop there. Now that would be pretty flagrant enough for most Americans. It didn't stop there. Get this. He said, and the host took him seriously as if this was a sincere or serious idea. He said, if anyone should be caught hunting and kill an animal after his dream law was passed, the government would appoint a lawyer to represent the animal in court. Are you following me, Keith? So I began to think, well, now what if an animal kills another animal? Obviously, it is the dream of this Obama staffer to make animals equal with humans, give animals equal rights, so to speak. What if a mountain lion eats a deer? Does the mountain lion be charged for murder? I mean, this is the kind of stuff, the moral of this is the kind of stuff that would be laughable if they weren't serious about implementing it. And this wouldn't be the first time that something so bizarre would, down the line, become implemented. But this is what we're faced with, Keith. I'll tell you, if they can dream it, it can happen, and we have to live with the repercussions. We've seen it time and time again.
You know, it's just, quite frankly, the logical progression that comes from the radical egalitarianism of the left. You know, they believe that blacks are the same as whites, women are the same as men, children are the same as adults, criminals are the same as law-abiding citizens. Homosexuals are the same or just as good as heterosexuals. And, you know, it's just, you just follow that thread out to the end. It's, eventually you're going to get to plants and animals are the same as or just as good as human beings.
Well, apparently you can take it off the hypothetical.
Now it's that point. I don't know what we've got left after that, but
listen, I don't even want to imagine it, but you can scratch it. It's going from theory to practice. If this guy, like I said, this wasn't just some commentator. This is an official government appointee. This is a presidential pick. So I tell you, Keith, it just gets more and more bizarre. But thank God there are programs like ours who are still here to make sense about the issues of the day. Speaking of radical left-wing nut jobs.
The Bible says there's a hierarchy in life and that man is at the apex, just under God.
Not anymore. Not anymore if they get their way. But speaking of nuts, our favorite nuts, the nuts over at Acorn, are in a little bit of trouble. Now, I know if you've been on planet Earth over the course of the past couple of weeks, you already know the story we're about to present to you, but you probably haven't heard it presented to you in political cesspool speak yet. Keith, remind everyone what's going on at Acorn.
Well, Acorn is this particularly insidious and duplicitous so-called social justice group that was founded here in our neck of the woods back around 1970 by an ex-SDS member named Wade Rethke. It was originally known as Arkansas Community Organization for Reform Now. It's an acronym, you know, using the first letter of all those words. And as they grew nation into a nationwide group, Arkansas was changed to Association of Community Organizations for Reform Now. And this group basically works like a bunch of busy beavers to try to undermine American society and traditional American life, to break it apart, to destroy morality, to destroy families, and to destroy common sense approaches to problems. And they were just recently caught by some conservative activists with the Breitbart organization that sent in a couple of ringers, and they pretended to be, these two people pretended to be a pimp and his prostitute, and they were getting all of this sage advice from Acorn on how to smuggle Salvadorian minor girls into the United States, have them stay at their whorehouse, for lack of a better term, and how to claim these abused children that they're planning to abuse as dependents on their income taxes. You know, well, this is what they're trying to do at Acorn. Acorn is interested in tearing down every last shred of decency that exists in American life.
Well, we know that it's been well documented that they were enmeshed in just really egregious voter fraud last year on behalf of Obama. But, Keith, of course, you and I and the others associated with this radio program and our crew based here in Memphis had our own run-in with an Acorn affiliate last year here in the Mid-South area. This was a group who, upon learning that the Political Cesspool was hosting in conjunction with a couple of other organizations a conference last November, posted the name of the general manager of the hotel that we were booking our event at, encouraged their members to contact the manager and others that were dealing with us at the time and register their sincere disapproval. And, of course, what happened was the members of Acorn here in the local area threatened to blow up the building and kill everyone that walked in, myself and you included, Keith. So this is how they operate. Now, for whatever reason, and we spoke with the FBI about this and the local law enforcement, they never chose to follow up on these threats that were clearly made. But Acorn has run afoul now. They have lost their federal funding, it appears, at least in some states such as Louisiana and California.
And, you know, the big question about that that comes to mind, James, is how in the world did an organization this evil, this insidious, this corrosive ever get federal funding to begin with, or governmental funding? What type, you know, we had a Republican majority, supposedly, and a Republican government for most of the past 40 years. What in the world is the Bush administration, the George H.W. Bush administration, the Reagan administration, the Gerald Ford administration, what in the world are they doing funding an organization like Acorn?
Well, Keith, you hit the nail on the head, and we actually blogged about this on our website, thepoliticalcesspool.org. The so-called conservatives in the Republican Party right now are crowing. They're excited about the fact that Acorn is losing their funding, yet they failed to mention their role in granting that funding, particularly during the first 4 years of the Bush administration, his first term, when the Republicans controlled not only the White House, but also the Senate and House of Representatives. They were absolutely a part of granting this federal funding. So the Republicans were giving them money. Now they're acting as though they're conservatives and opposing Acorn, but yet they don't want to tell their supporters that they were doing it as well. And, of course, we know that the reason for that is both parties are just separate wings of the same vulture, and they work together with one another for the destruction of conservative ideas and the American experiment.
Well, it shows that George Wallace was right back in 1968 when he said there's not a dime's worth of difference between the Republican and the Democratic parties.
Well, that's exactly right, and it's truer now than it was in Governor Wallace's day. But I am happy, I guess, to conclude this first segment as we're about to go to commercial break. I am happy that Acorn has gotten a severe black eye. I don't guess they ever had any credibility, but...
But you know what's going to happen, James? It's going to be just like Martin Luther King when he was confronted with the communist ties of his chief advisor, Stanley Levison, a good son of Israel. Well, what they did was they would say, oh, he's fired now, and then somehow, mysteriously, in 3 months, he would reappear somewhere else in Martin Luther King's organization.
We'll be back right after this.
Coming your way right after these messages.
When the truth is found
to be... Welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's Dime, toll-free, at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
Ladies and gentlemen, coming up throughout the course of the rest of tonight's live broadcast, during the second hour, Eddie Miller will be coming in and co-hosting with me as we interview Officer Jack McLam. Officer McLam is the highest decorated police officer in the history of the city of Phoenix, Arizona. A very accomplished and decorated individual who will be on to shed some light on a very serious matter. Officer McLam, our guest for the entire second hour. And then in the third hour, I'm going to be spending some alone time with you. We're going to be opening up the phone lines and running the gambit of hot-button issues in a rapid-fire segment. So still much more forthcoming during tonight's Saturday, September 19th broadcast of the Political Cesspool radio program. Keith, you and I, though, first still have plenty to talk about, much on the agenda over the course of the next few segments. But before we go into the next item on the table this evening, I wanted to give you an opportunity to finish up our line of thinking on Acorn.
Well, the point I was making before the break was that just like Martin Luther King distance himself from his close associate Stanley Levison when Levison's Communist Party ties were revealed to the American public, but then later on you would see Levison pop back up somewhere in Martin Luther King's organization. Just likewise, Obama is not about to banish a group like Acorn or their affiliates from his group of associates because they're too valuable. He needs a group of foot soldiers, henchmen on the ground to do his bidding, and there's no more committed cadre of people committed to the destruction of traditional America and traditional American values than Acorn.
Well, listen, here's the thing,
Keith. They may be called Acorn some places. They may be called Mid-South Peace and Justice Center as they are here in Memphis, but they're all part of the same network.
Here's the thing. Obviously, Obama is not going to turn on a good Marxist, on a good brother. But what he does or doesn't do should be irrelevant. The federal government should have never been funding, to the tune of millions, tens of millions of dollars, radical left-wing operatives in the first place. But be that as it may, what they have done now, obviously in engaging in conspiracy to commit human smuggling, tax evasion, so on and so forth. This is a criminal matter. They should be shut down. The IRS, the FBI, all of these organizations that keep such good tabs on law-abiding citizens should be looking in to groups like Acorn. It's, I think, funny, Keith, that the behavior that the mainstream media tries to attribute to people of our political persuasion, that of thuggery and violence, things that we have never practiced or advocated ever. I mean, who are we? I can't speak for for everyone who listens to this program, although I know a great number of them are great men and women, patriots. But, I mean, at least for the people that I know who work on behalf of this show, people like us, Keith, we're law-abiding citizens. We're family men. We're churchgoers. We're good conservatives. And yet they try to stick the stigma of thuggery and violence around our necks when it is, in fact, the very people who they support to the fullest that are engaging in these acts of illegality. People like Acorn, this is a criminal matter now. Acorn should be run out of business and, better yet, put in jail. I think they deserve it.
Well, they ought to use the RICO laws, Racketeering Influence Corrupt Organizations Law, against Acorn.
But do you think that the FBI would get involved in something like this, Keith? Do you think we can see criminal charges brought up?
Yeah, they should. They could. Indeed, they could. You know, they've tried to use this against certain right-wing organizations, but, you know, the left is a sacred cow in America. I was reading in the local daily newspaper, the Commercial Appeal, an article about Acorn today, and it said, they're just a bunch of people fighting for truth, justice, and the American way, and because they are so successful, they've stepped on the toes of certain influential groups like powerful elites and the Republican Party.
So when you have video of them advocating and instructing how to get away with criminal acts, that's just...
getting paid by the government to do it, and how to manipulate the tax code and how to manipulate the authorities to help them further a criminal enterprise. And what do they say? They say when all is said and done, more will be said than done.
I love it, Keith. That's exactly right. And one of my all-time favorite quotes. But the Republicans should be calling for this. They shouldn't even have to call for it. The FBI should just go on. They have enough evidence now based upon this video to at least open an investigation. They don't have to necessarily issue an indictment.
I think that's really high on the list of Eric Holder's priorities.
There you go.
New Attorney General of the United States.
Now you're getting to the crux of the matter. But once again, every time that I hold out hope that the Republicans will take advantage of a situation that is laid in their lap and make something of it, I'm disappointed. I can try to help them. I do try to help them, but I just can't. And another instance of this, Keith, is obviously the situation. We talked about it last week, but it's an ongoing and developing situation surrounding Congressman Joe Wilson. Once again, the Republicans had a chance to stand strong and do something right, show the people who support the Republican Party, what few of them are left, that there is a difference and that they are going to take seriously their convictions and they're not going to kowtow and capitulate. But the way they've handled the Joe Wilson situation, the way Congressman Wilson handled it himself, it's more of the same, more of the same disappointment.
Well, the best thing that is happening to the Republican Party now is that they don't have a recognized spokesperson or spokesman. Can you imagine what John McCain would be doing with the Acorn matter, for example? He'd probably be apologizing to Acorn like he did when he came to the Memphis National Civil Rights.
Yeah, he'd be apologizing that people would dare videotape them.
Yeah, and in fact, I understand that Acorn has gotten some of their minions on the ground, some attorney, local attorney general or something in like Baltimore or wherever, to consider bringing charges not against Acorn, but against the conservative activists that tape recorded and videotaped this criminal conspiracy that they were able to capture on tape.
Well, no, that doesn't surprise me. And in fact, I'm sure those people, if anyone goes to jail, it'll probably be those folks in this matter.
It's, you know, the truth is stranger than fiction, my friend.
Well, no, it is. But and once again, to harken back to Joe Wilson, this is another thing where he called Obama a liar, which he is. Okay. Now, perhaps he didn't do it as tastefully as we should, but when has the left ever...
Look, you cannot be tasteful. Leo DeRocher said it best. He's the old baseball manager who is credited with saying nice guys finish last. The fact that the conservative is now beginning to get some traction and be effective is due entirely to the fact that now conservatives are using the same type of tactics that the left has used against the mainstream of America for decades now by going into an organization and videotaping what actually happens at Acorn, for example.
Well, this thing with Wilson, though, Keith, I tell you, he could have been the next president of the United States. I tell you, he could have come.
Stand firm.
If he had said, you know what, you're dead gum right, I called him a liar because that's what he is. And you know what, not only am I not going to apologize for telling the truth, I'm not going to stand for it anymore. And that's not where I'm going to leave it. I'm going to go forward, and I'm going to speak out on other matters that you know, conservatives are concerned about, so on and so forth. You get the direction I'm taking this.
Here's what the difference is, okay?
But then the Republicans let him get rebuked and censored and everything else, and they just took it laying down. And
well, there were certain people in certain quarters of the Republican Party saying that he had had this serious breach of manners and needed to prostrate himself before the Democrats. Well, the Democrats aren't going to be satisfied with anything short of his head on a pike.
Well, the Democrats were the ones who, again, rightfully so, called George Bush a liar. They said Bush died, Bush lied, soldiers died. I mean, they called him liar day in, day out. Pelosi, Reid, they all did
whatever, you know. But then on the other hand, what happened here is that Obama intends, and I don't think he would deny this, to grant a blanket amnesty to all immigrants who are in the United States illegally, and once they are granted amnesty, they will certainly qualify for his health care plan. So Joe Wilson was right on target.
Let's take a timeout, Keith, and let's call a 20, and we'll be back right after this. Stay tuned, everybody. The political cesspool is just getting started.
Guys, we'll be back right after these messages. To get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397.
Welcome back to the show, everyone. James Edwards here with you tonight, this Saturday, September 19th, in the political cesspool. Keith Alexander with me. Keith, I got to tell you, it's been sort of a slow week by some standards of measurement here in the cesspool. I guess all of the cultural Marxists are wrapped up in protecting their friends at Acorn. We've only received two death threats this week in the cesspool. That's well below our weekly average. But I got to say this. You look at
maybe
what people can do with so little. If we received $100 in the mail, along with every death threat that we get, this show would never have to struggle for funding. Do you know that as we reach tens of thousands of people on AM and FM stations across the country, on the internet, on satellite, everywhere we go, we do all of that on a budget, just an anemic budget, you know, and we pay taxes out of that too. So this show can accomplish so much with so little. If we just received $100 along with every death threat, we would never have to ask our supporters for contributions. But such as it is, this is a listener-supported program, and the people who wish us ill will.
They submit $100 with it. That'll be the.
Yeah, they don't donate, though. Unfortunately, they don't send the money along with their... I can't tell you how many times I've been told I won't live to see tomorrow. I used to call the FBI about it, you know, when it first started happening, but it just happens so much now they got tired of my calls. But anyway, folks, if you want to stand with us, it's hard. It's a lonely life on the front lines, and you need some support. If you would like to stand with us in the political cesspool and show those practitioners of violence just how strong we really are, we would appreciate your support in all sincerity. ThePoliticalCesspool.org. You can donate to this program and help keep us on the air for another 5 years. Our birthday is coming up October 26th. We are going to have a big star-studded on-air birthday bash as the Political Cesspool turns 5 years old. I guess we're toddlers now, Keith. I don't know. We're about to go into kindergarten or first grade even. So we're growing up right before your very eyes. And ladies and gentlemen, you are the reason that this has happened. We would be nothing without you. We would go nowhere without your support. We need it. You've provided it. We need you to continue to provide it, and you can by going to our website. And certainly we appreciate it more than we can ever articulate. But, Keith, that being said, back to you.
Well, a couple of parting shots on Acorn. One of Acorn's patented trademark approaches is to overburden the system with needy people or people with needs or problems to the point that it collapses. One of their first and greatest victories was in the New York City area, where in the 70s they intentionally recruited people to apply for welfare and then intimidated welfare officials into granting welfare to these people to the extent that New York City ran out of money to pay welfare benefits and basically had to have the whole thing shut down. And in other words, they provoked a crisis. Likewise, when they are recruiting people to vote, they do the same thing. They recruit so many new voters that the system is deluged. It's overwhelmed. They can't check into the qualifications. They threaten the authorities to the point that they just flag people in and allow them to vote and again create another crisis. Their intention is, like Rahm Emanuel said, never let a crisis go to waste. And they use these crises to basically break down our government and our system of checks and balances and laws to the extent that we have a lawless society. That's what they intend to do, my friend.
Well, God forbid that they be allowed to continue to operate. And listen, I am not for what the left wing is for. The left wing wants to stifle debate. They want to control the public discourse.
They're totalitarians they want... of a final analysis.
Yeah, you know, listen, I am not for running Acorn out of business because what they advocate is something that is obscene to me and anti-American and anti-Christian in my opinion. I actually do believe in an exchange of ideas, even the ideas that I find abhorrent. I believe that the court of public opinion is big enough for viewpoints on all of these issues. But when you are actively engaging in matters of illegality, I think that there should be. Listen, I'm a law-abiding guy. I have never broken.
You know, we have a law for it. It's called the RICO law.
Well, right? There you go. So what I'm saying is, I'm not going to oppose Acorn and say that they should be shut down just because they're anti-American. What I'm saying is, we have to abide by the law. So should they. And I'm sick and tired of the government picking and choosing which political activists they're going to enforce certain laws on. So let's just have an even keel here. Everybody is held to the same standards.
You know,
and I like, at the end of the day, we're
right
all saying, Keith. But
that I'm aware of is trying to overload the government and make it fall. And none of these right-wing organizations have as their ultimate goal totalitarianism for America.
But like I said, listen, you're absolutely right. We actually are far more tolerant than our counterparts on the left and far more willing to see it both ways, but no, people engaging in acts like this ought to go. We'll see what happens. I'm not going to hold my breath, but you know, we'll keep you posted. But Keith, I know also time goes by so quickly on this program. We got to do it as quickly as possible. You wanted to revisit another issue that we brought to our audience's attention last week during the first hour.
Well, we were visiting the strange of. And ironic fact that Jews, on one hand, are the greatest single group advocating tolerance and diversity and multiculturalism in American life, and particularly they attack private schools if they think that these private schools are really intended to be havens for one particular group of people or another. They'll work to get their tax exemption revoked. Managed to have a Supreme Court decision to that effect rendered back in the 1970s when private academies were founded in order to provide a good educational institution for children displaced by busing. But on the other hand, when it comes to Jewish schools, they are the most racially homogeneous organizations in imaginable. They have absolutely no minority group members. They have nobody in them who is not Jewish. And somehow the Jewish community doesn't seem to see any inconsistency in their position as to what is good for them versus what is good for the rest of society.
Keith, I have said it time and time again, and I'll shout it from the rafters. I love the way the Jewish state is set up over in Israel. Their domestic policy, their border policy, their immigration policy, my God, if only they would advocate for the rest of the world and all of the other nationalities and countries that which they practice for themselves, we wouldn't have any race problems. But here's the thing about it.
They're just exactly the opposite on that. When it comes to what other people should do and the way they should order their affairs, they want them to do totally 180 degrees the opposite of what the Jewish community recommends for themselves.
Well, here's what's so damnable about that. What you practice for yourself and what practices you teach your children, obviously those are the practices that you believe in, that you believe are the most healthy for your family. And as such, this is what the Zionists in Israel have created for themselves.
There's an old expression that people use around here, and I'm sure elsewhere in Red State America, practice what you preach. They never practice what they preach. They preach one thing and practice something entirely different.
Well, that's what's so abominable about it all, and you said right before we went on air tonight, many people say that Jews are the most liberal element of society, when in fact the exact opposite is true. Perhaps they are the most right-wing, at least in their own homes.
Yeah, there's a new book by Norman Podhoretz. It's called Why Are Jews Liberal, in which he tries to, he has to confront this reality because more and more people are talking about it, and I think we were among the first to talk about it in the news media. But nonetheless, when you get right down to it, there's no explanation for this other than, you know, they're doing it in order to undermine the racial solidarity and cohesion of other groups while totally refusing to embrace it for themselves because they're very interested in maintaining racial and ethnic solidarity in the Jewish community.
Well, listen, it goes without saying they do it because they know it's what's right for their family. Palestinians aren't allowed to buy land over there, this, that, and the other. They live in an absolute apartheid and segregated state. Compare and contrast that with what the South Afrikaners were trying to do and the treatment they got. They certainly got dealt with much differently than Israel is being dealt with now.
Well,
and listen, I say
South.
All that, Keith, we got to go to break. We got to go to break, Keith. We'll pick that up on the other side. But I say that again. I want what they've got. I should be entitled to have what they've got, particularly since they control the American media and government. But listen, we'll take a timeout. We'll be back with more right after this.
Don't go away. The Political Cesspool guys will be back right after these messages.
We'll return. We'll return. We'll return.
Jump in the political cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
Again, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be taking calls an open mic hour during tonight's third hour. Coming up from 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time. So we'll be taking all of your calls during that hour, and I'll be spending that time one-on-one with you here in the political cesspool. But Keith, we were talking about, obviously, probably the most grotesque double standard in existence today, that which is practiced in the state of Israel and that which Zionists in the media would want for everyone else. First question, Keith, about that would be, why do the practitioners of diversity, those who hate quote-unquote racism, why aren't they speaking out against the one nation in the world where forced segregation still exists? Why isn't Israel getting condemned for the racism that they practice?
Because what they intend to do is not, as they profess, achieve some type of tolerant multicultural nirvana for mankind. They use it against any organization or any country in which they find themselves a minority in order to weaken the position of the dominant ethnic or racial group. And a perfect example of that would be the American South during the Civil Rights Movement. All these civil rights advocates were predominantly Jewish. Over 50% of the Freedom Riders, for example, that went to the South in the 60s, were Jewish. All the money, all the planning, all the energy behind the Civil Rights Movement was basically provided by the Jewish community in America. On the other hand, in Israel, non-Jews cannot emigrate and or ever hope to be citizens of the state of Israel, yet liberal Jewish groups are in the forefront of advocating open immigration to America and giving amnesty to tons and, you know, innumerable illegal immigrants in America. In the South, during the days of segregation, blacks could own real property. Non-Jews cannot own real property in the state of Israel today, but it's a taboo topic to even mention that.
And no one, I have not heard another radio show or media broadcast in the United States that is talking about the issue that we do right now. And let me say this, ladies and gentlemen, and let me be clear. I don't hate anyone. I don't hate Jews. I don't hate blacks. I hate liberalism, and I hate the people who are advocating ideas that are going to impact detrimentally my family. And certainly I value my freedom of association. I certainly value my freedom of speech. That First Amendment guarantees my right to speak out against these ideas on this radio program. And thank God for that. And if we're ever going to rectify the situation, ladies and gentlemen, more of you need to be speaking out against it and advocating ideas and programs that will benefit our European American family. But
America has been called the last best hope of the world. And people that are trying to destroy and bring down the last best hope of the world are obviously the enemies of everything that is good and righteous. And those people are liberals. We're very clear on that. And if I dislike a person, it's not because of their race or their religion, it's because of their liberalism and to the extent that any groups are disproportionately pushing forward the liberal agenda, we're not going to be shy about bringing that to the attention of the public.
Well, again, Keith, you've got a double standard which exists in terms of what the Israelis can practice for themselves and what everyone else is allowed to practice, such as the Southern Americans, such as the South Africaners. Well, they don't even exist anymore. I guess they did. They went the last full measure with those guys and got them out of there violently, I might add. But we've got another double standard, and this hits close to home. I don't want to use the word gentleman, but a fellow by the name of Louis Farrakhan. Louis Farrakhan, old Louis, is still in the race hustle business, and he's coming to practice some racketeering at the Cannon Center in downtown Memphis. Now, Keith, we all know Louis Farrakhan's history and his biography, so on and so forth. He's coming to Memphis to give a public speech. This is a speech which is, it's being advertised on billboards on some of our most, on some of our busiest intersections and interstates.
It's a high-ticket item. I think it's $30 to attend or something like that.
$30 to attend. Now, why is that interesting?
And you see, he will undoubtedly be put up at the swankiest hotel and in the swankiest suite in town. He has before, when he's come to Memphis, been offered the key to the city by the black mayor of Memphis.
Now, how does Memphis treat...
This is despite the fact that the group that he heads up, the black Muslims, are even on the Southern Poverty Law Center's list of hate groups. None of that seems to matter. See, the Southern Poverty Law Center, in an effort to appear to be even-handed and fair, has two black groups on their list of hate groups. That would be the black Muslims and the new Black Panther Party. But despite the fact that even a group as extremely left-wing as SPLC finds his organization to be a hate group, he's treated like a visiting, royalty.
Yeah,
whenever he comes to a
dignitary.
Town like Memphis.
Listen, yeah. So again, that's how he's treated. How are pro-white activists and former elected representatives treated when they come to Memphis?
Not nearly the same way.
Well, you've got what happens here, because we know full well the local media provides nonstop coverage.
And
once again, in an effort, and a successful one, to control the discourse, they label these people inappropriately as supremacists and hate mongers and so on and so forth, Klansmen. None of this is applicable. None of this is accurate. But you will not once find, when Louis Farrakhan comes to Memphis in a couple of weeks, one article, one mainstream broadcast on the local network affiliates that call him anything other than a civil rights advocate or a minority speaker, something of those. Completely different, but the situations are the same.
Tolerance for thee, but not from me, but not for thee. What they do is they have a complete and utter double standard when it comes to dealing with advocates of left-wing positions versus advocates of right-wing positions. Liberals versus conservatives.
And here's why. Yeah. Listen, here's why they're able to successfully get away with something so brazen is because our people really, obviously we have to work for a living. So that's our people have to work for a living and provide for our families, unlike our opponents on the left. But be that as it may, we still ought to find the time to register our complaints with the media for the way they project our viewpoints compared and contrast with the radical and violent left's viewpoints, and we should take the time to call them, register our disgust. We should take the time to protest, obviously, without engaging in acts of civil disobedience, which is the exact same acts that we are always faced with from our opposition. But we ought to take the time to be vocal. Ladies and gentlemen, you can't rely on James Edwards and the political cesspool and the members of the Council of Conservative Citizens or European and Americans United. There just aren't enough of us to turn the rudder of the way this country is being steered. We have got to have your support vocally, financially, morally, any way you can help. Come on. We love you. We know you appreciate our work on this radio program, but we need your help. We can do this. Ladies and gentlemen, we can still do this.
Well, what we need to do, too, James, is we need to have people just sit back and be aware of what's going on. Why is there such a disparity in the treatment of somebody like Louis Farrakhan on one hand with some conservative or right-wing person?
I
remember when that person came that you were talking about to Memphis, he was harassed to such a point that he couldn't even find a hotel room to stay in.
He did,
and then he would be told that he had to leave. He couldn't even find a place to sleep.
One of the most basic civil rights, the right to rent a hotel room for your own private accommodation, was denied to him because the media said he was something that he's not. But let's look at Pat Buchanan, for instance. I mean, Pat Buchanan goes and gives a speech, and radical leftist Marxist college students pour mayonnaise and salad dressing on his head. Jared Taylor is physically accosted when he's speaking, and physically and violently escorted out of the room by thugs.
Anyone on the left, but the fact that people do that, get away with it, and that's these thuggish tactics are used to shut up conservatives. Meanwhile, a person who has been determined to be the head of an organization that is a hate group by the SPLC comes into town and is treated like visiting royalty. Something ain't right here, folks.
Well, of course, everybody that's good is on the SPLC's hate watch list, and including a couple of people that are bad, like Farrakhan. But you can't really, obviously, Keith, and I know that's not what you were implying, that you can trust them to designate who is and isn't a hate group.
If they will come out against you, okay, then, you know, why is there this disparity in treatment between that group and right-wing groups?
We got to conclude the first hour. We're back with some national news and more of the political cesspool right after this.
Stay tuned. Hour number two of the political cesspool comes your way right after these messages.
Harv leaped to his feet and says, "Something's got a hold on me." Yow! The day the squirrel went berserk in the First Self-Righteous Church in that sleeping little town of Pascagoula. It was a fight for survival that broke out in revival. They were jumping pews and shouting hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Well, Harv hit the aisles dancing and screaming. Some thought he had religion, others thought he had a demon. And Harv thought he had a weed eater loose in his fruit of the looms. He fell to his knees to plead and beg, and the squirrel ran out of his britches leg unobserved to the other side of the room. All the way down to the amen.